Well, who is excited for Christmas? Some adults' hands are going up. I'm just going to, just move this over a second. Too many things to work out. Okay, so Christmas is coming. Some are excited. Who's had Christmas parties? Any adults? Any teenagers? No? Okay, cool. Christmas parties, obviously, we've been a little bit restricted perhaps this year. Okay, who's... we talked about lists already, written lists. Who's written Christmas cards? Excellent, fantastic. Who's bought the presents for other people? Excellent, fantastic. Excellent, fantastic. Who's got the food? Got the turkey? I'm just going to move this whilst I'm talking. Got the turkey? Anyone got turkey? No, you don't need the turkey. We have. We've had it frozen for the last couple of months, but we won't go there. Okay, and I've seen a couple of Christmas jumpers around. I have to say, I'm a little bit disappointed there aren't any more Christmas... Let's not go there. Okay, but Christmas is coming. We're excited. It's fun, isn't it? But hang on a minute, I've missed something out. Kids, can you tell me... We've talked about a few things about Christmas, but I've kind of missed something out. Can anyone tell me what it might be? Yes. Put up the Christmas tree. Catch. Put up the Christmas tree. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree kind of is a bit of a... Let's see if this works. Okay. I have to say now, I'm not the world's greatest artist, okay? But hopefully, this will be helpful. Okay. The Christmas tree. I love the Christmas tree. You see, the Christmas tree kind of, for me, it kind of is an indication that Christmas is on the way. That Christmas is beginning, because the Christmas tree is one of the first things to go up. Who's put their Christmas tree up? Who hasn't yet put their Christmas tree up? A few people kind of put their hands up. Okay, I have to say again, in our house, the Christmas tree is one of the first things to go up. It goes up usually around the 1st of December. It kind of makes you start to feel Christmassy. You know, the Christmas tree, for a lot of people, is a place of hope, because the Christmas tree is where they're hopeful that things will change for them. Because when it gets to Christmas Day, they're going to come down in the morning, and hopefully, around the bottom of the tree, they're going to find some Christmas presents. Things that they may have asked for. Things that they may have even been promised. But it's a place of hope. Because people are hopeful that life is going to get better because of that gift that they've perhaps asked for, that present that they've so wanted. And so the Christmas tree very easily becomes a focal point of hope at this time of year. Hoping for something better, for something greater. You know, how did we come to have the Christmas tree? Well, the Christmas tree has been around for quite a few hundred years. And going back a few hundred years, evergreens, trees that stayed green all year round, people saw that these were a tree that kind of gave a bit of a glint of hope that in the darkness of winter, when everything around was dying and looking bare, the evergreen tree was a symbol of kind of hope that there was something better to come, that spring was going to come, that the sunshine would once again appear. And people used to put candles on them and other wonderful things to decorate them, to make them look nice and pretty. But when did the Christmas tree actually come inside? When did we start to use the Christmas tree at Christmas time inside our houses? Well, legend has it that a man by the name of Martin Luther, who was in Germany, was a monk, he was a church reformer, around in the sort of 1400s. And one night he was walking through the cold and the snow, and he was walking through a forest. And he looked up and he saw a beautiful array of light, which were the stars twinkling in the night sky. And he got home, and he was so excited by what he saw that he wanted to share that with his family. And so the easiest way to explain it to them was to go out and chop a tree down and bring it inside, and then they decorated it. And they decorated it with candles to symbolize the stars, the lights that they had seen shining through the trees. And since then, people have decorated trees with all kinds of things. Now then, what do we put at the very top of our Christmas tree? Izzy, a star. Can you catch? Cool. if it hits your head, I apologise now. Well, not too bad, was it? A star. So, let's put a star on. Okay, there we go. And we'll give a bit of colour. There we go, that's a star. Okay. And the star kind of helps us, reminds us from the Bible, doesn't it? It was the star that led the people to where Jesus was born. And so we often put a star on the top of our tree. What else do we sometimes put hanging off our tree? Got to remember to throw out things. Anybody else? Yes. Okay, sometimes we do put a crown on the top, but what do we hang off the tree? Yeah. Christmas baubles, can you catch? Well done. Okay, Christmas baubles. Okay. And we put baubles on to give it a bit of decoration, make it look nice and pretty, and so on. Okay, and so we have the baubles on the tree. But then there's one other thing that we haven't yet put on. Can anyone tell me what it is? We've got the baubles, we've got the star, we've got lights on it. Yes. Do you know what it is? Any ideas? Go on. What did you say? Daddy can say it for you. What was it? Tin? I think you did say tinsel, didn't you? There you go, mate. Well done. Okay, tinsel. Fantastic. Now, in amongst all my stuff here, I've lost what I needed, but that's fine. We'll go with this. No, it's not there. Okay, tinsel. Now then, tinsel, okay, back in the day, all right, was made out of like a metal alloy. And it was flattened and stretched, okay, in various forms. And they would make it into long strips and they would kind of wind it around a thread. And then over the years, they developed their technology. And after a while, what you would end up with is the kind of tinsel similar to what you might have today, except still a fairly bare metal. But what you would end up with is it tarnished. So you would end up with these sort of metal black strips that went throughout the length of the tinsel. And so the tinsel would shine and it would glisten and people would put it on their tree, again, to make it look nice and pretty. There we go, there's our kind of strip of tinsel. And so that's our tree, decorated, looking absolutely fantastic, looking really nice. You know, trees are great, aren't they? I don't know about you, but I love the Christmas tree. To see it decorated, it's really nice. But you know, the Christmas tree, as we said before, it becomes that focal point of hope for people because they hope that is perhaps where their dreams are going to be realized when they get those gifts. But you know, the thing is, the reality is, the truth is, the tree, as we know it like this, actually cannot bring any hope at all. Because you see, whatever gifts you're expecting for Christmas, whatever you've put on your list, those things are going to be good things. But they ain't going to be able to bring you hope that lasts. As you open those, whatever they may be, things will go out of date. Things will break. Things will perhaps not be exactly what you wanted it to be. And so, whatever you might get, it's a bit like this £10 note here. It will be there, and then will disappear. It's there 1 minute, and it's gone. And so the hope that people fill themselves with around the Christmas tree, it soon disappears. It soon goes. But this morning, folks, I want to show you that this Christmas tree, this tree here, can actually bring us true hope. Hope that, as we've seen, has been promised all the way back from Genesis. The hope that comes in the birth of Jesus. But before we see that, some of our girls are going to come and do some Bible readings. So Alice and Lucy are going to come. I knew this was going to happen. I'm still fairly new. I kind of get away with it. They're going to come and they're going to do some Bible readings for us now.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
You can go and take a seat.
Okay. So this tree that we've already seen is nice and pretty, beautifully decorated, but actually doesn't really bring us any hope. Not in the way that the world might think in terms of what we might be expecting and getting for Christmas. But you see, as we've just heard from those Bible readings there, we're going to come to them again in a moment. You see, the Bible very clearly tells us that when Jesus came that very first Christmas, he came to turn the world completely upside down. You see, Jesus was born in a stable, at the place where the star stopped. Children, you've very helpfully helped us and reminded us of that this morning. Born in a manger. He came to rescue, not in the way that people expected. People were expecting a warrior, a mighty man who would be able to defeat the Romans. But he came as a meek and lowly child, born in a manger where the shepherds and the wise men came and worshipped him. You know, as one of those verses that we just had read for us said, Jesus grew up to be a man. He experienced what you and I experience, yet was without sin. You know, on his way through life, we read that Jesus met all kinds of people. He healed people. He talked to them about why he came. He said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. That you could only come to God and have a relationship with him through him. And so everything that he did pointed us to that. He showed us something of what God is like. And all the different people that he met along the way shows that. The people that he healed, the people that he spoke to, the people that he cared for, all shows us that. But then, as we read on, and again as we've had read, eventually Jesus comes to the point of his life where he has to set out and to do what he ultimately came to do. You see, eventually we read that he went to a hill. And on the hill, Jesus was put to death on a cross. Not a pretty Christmas tree that we might have up in our homes this Christmas, but a cruel wooden cross. And either side of him, there were two criminals. See, that's why Jesus came into the world, so that he would go to the cross, that he would die in your place and my place because of all the sin that we've done, our turning our back on God, being disobedient and wanting to do our thing and not God's thing. And so Jesus willingly went to the cross for you and for me. And there he outstretched his arms because he loves us so much. And as he was there, dying on the cross, there were these two criminals, one on either side. One of them realized that he needed forgiveness. He realized that what he had done was wrong. Jesus was there, hadn't done anything wrong. But these two other guys were. And so one of them realizes that they need to be forgiven. And that the only way they can be forgiven is by coming to Jesus. And he does that. And you know, the most wonderful, glorious thing is, we read that that day, that person went to be with him in paradise. Not because of anything he had done, but because of everything that Jesus had done. The other man, well, he didn't realize his need of a savior. And so went to a lost eternity without him, without God. Had not been forgiven. You know, earlier we saw all kinds of people that Jesus met on his way, on the way through his life. All kinds of people from all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different situations. And then he ends up on the cross with these two people. And essentially this morning, folks, I want to suggest to you, there are really two groups of people this Christmas. There are those who are like the first criminal, realized his need of a savior, realized that he had stuffed up, messed up, turned his back on God, and needed forgiveness. That he couldn't do anything about that himself. The only one who could is Jesus, that one who was born in a manger, who died on a cross. The other group of people are those who really stood by and mocked and didn't really see their need of a rescuer, don't really see their need of salvation in Jesus. And so in this Christmas time, I simply want to ask you the question, which camp are you in? Are you a follower of Jesus? Do you see your need of salvation, of rescue? Do you see the hope promised in Jesus? Or are you someone who really at the moment don't really see that? You might have lots of questions. Then please do ask questions. Speak to somebody you came with. Speak to myself. Speak to Alvin. Speak to Tim. If you've got questions, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. But you see, the wonderful thing about Christmas is we see that there is hope. Hope promised not only that Jesus came, was born, and died on the cross. But you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't stay dead. He came back to life. And that means that Jesus is now alive. And if we put our faith and trust in him, we have a hope promised of an eternity with him. One day we will be with him forever, where all pain and sadness and sickness are gone. But you know, we don't have to wait. We receive the Holy Spirit now if we come to him and trust in him. And so we receive the beginnings of that eternal life now, because our lives can be transformed and changed by him. The hope promised at Christmas time. You know, the sign that was above Jesus' head said something of who he was. I wonder if you can work out here what I'm trying to very quickly write. Has anyone managed to work it out yet? This was the sign that was above Jesus' head when he was put on the cross. Jesus, King of the Jews. I wonder, this Christmas time, would you be able to have a sign that goes above your head that says, Jesus, King of my life? Will you be able to have a sign that goes above your head that says, Jesus, King of my life? John 3:16 very simply says, we had it read for us earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but have eternal life. You know, that really sums up Christmas. For God so loved the world. That is the motive behind Christmas. That he gave his one and only son. That is the event remembered at Christmas. That whoever believes in him will not perish, will not die, but have eternal life. That is the reason for Christmas. The Christmas tree. It's a great, wonderful decoration. In and of itself, really does nothing for us. But turn it upside down, and it gives us the greatest hope promised of salvation through Jesus, of eternal life with him. I wonder this morning, if you're a believer, if you're trusting in Jesus as your Savior, are you excited about Christmas? Are you excited because of the hope that we have in Christ? Oh dear. Are we excited about the hope we have in Christ? Excellent, fantastic. I wonder, do those around you, do those that you work with, your friends, your family, do they know that it excites you? This morning, if you're not a believer, what's stopping you? My prayer for you this Christmas is that you will truly experience Jesus, that he will turn your Christmas completely upside down, that you will encounter the hope promised in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change you and transform you forever. I'm going to pray in a moment, but just before I do, you know, one of the greatest things about being a Christian is that hope that we have. Jesus talks about being invited to a party. You know, when we get to glory, when we get to heaven, it's going to be the greatest celebration ever. I don't know whether you like a party, you know, enjoying a good party. If you enjoy a good party here on earth, that is going to be nothing. It's not going to have a patch on what we're going to enjoy when we get to glory. And in a moment, we're going to conclude our service by singing a song that talks about that very fact. Heaven invites you to a party to celebrate the birth of a son. But before we do that, I'm just going to pray. And then the song will conclude our time together. Afterwards, there's going to be refreshments. Please grab one and then mingle outside afterwards. If you want to pray with somebody, then come and grab somebody, someone with a lanyard, Tim, Alwyn, myself, someone you came with. If you want to ask more, please feel free to do so. And again, come this evening, carols this evening, 6:30, other services over the Christmas period. We'd love to see you. But let me pray, and then we're going to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the hope promised in the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that the birth of your Son was no accident. We can see from all the way back at the beginning of the Bible how you promised a Savior and a Rescuer. We thank you for Christmas when we remember the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he went to the cross. We thank you that he died and that he was raised to life so that we could know sins forgiven and have a relationship with you and have eternal life with you. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful guarantee, the down payment, if you like, of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us when we come to you and we ask for forgiveness. Lord, may you help us this Christmas time to really understand afresh, to be excited about the hope promised, and that we would look forward to the day when we will meet you face to face and we will be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand, let's worship God together. We're going to party as we sing. Heaven invites you to a party.